I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly, assassination attempt. As the candidates return to the campaign trail, Florida's governor makes an announcement about Sunday's attempted shooting. Center of the storm. A small town in Ohio is part of a major story. We hear from Springfield Mayor Rob Rue. Warm-up act. During Hispanic Heritage Month, a priest from Mexico tells us about his new fire initiative. And an open wound. How the faithful are remembering a milestone in the life of St. Francis of Assisi. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the feast of St. Robert Bellarmine. Our top story tonight, 2 days after former President Donald Trump was targeted in a second assassination attempt, federal and state officials have each launched separate investigations into what went wrong. At the same time, the campaigns are back on the road with the election less than 50 days away. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, Donald Trump is holding a town hall in Flint, Michigan tonight, and his opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, was in Philadelphia earlier taking part in a gathering of the National Association of Black Journalists. Meanwhile, the Attorney General and the Governor of Florida both focused on what happened Sunday on that golf course in Florida.
We are grateful that he is safe.
Delivering remarks at a Justice Department event, Attorney General Merrick Garland says the FBI is continuing to investigate the attempt on former President Donald Trump's life, adding,
"We will all work together to tirelessly determine accountability in this matter. We will spare no resource in this investigation."
Trump, interviewed Monday on X, talked about his very close call while playing golf.
All of a sudden, we heard shots being fired in the air, and I guess probably four or five, and it sounded like bullets, but what do I know about that? But Secret Service knew immediately it was bullets, and they grabbed me.
While the federal investigation into the incident at Trump's West Palm Beach golf course is in the early stages, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says his state will launch a criminal probe of the most serious offense, attempted murder.
In my judgment, it's not in the best interest of our state or our nation to have the same federal agencies that are seeking to prosecute Donald Trump leading this investigation.
Meanwhile, in battleground Pennsylvania, Vice President Kamala Harris speaks at a black journalist forum.
In a democracy, there is no place for political violence. We can and should have healthy debates and discussion and disagreements.
Also on the campaign trail, Harris's running mate Tim Walz in Macon, Georgia.
Thankful to Secret Service, the folks you see, law enforcement, and grateful that the president is safe.
And Trump's running mate J.D. Vance, holding a rally in Michigan, is asked about security at campaign events in the wake of the assassination attempt.
With close to 500 patriots in the state of Michigan, in this building right now and outside, I'd like to see an assassin try to come in this room. They come the wrong place if you try to walk into this place right now.
Today, President Joe Biden did not talk about the campaigns nor the assassination attempt. Instead, he participated in a briefing regarding the ongoing wildfire season.
In California, they have three major wildfires destroying homes and displacing thousands of people. I mean, thousands of people.
Also tonight, on this National Voter Registration Day, Donald Trump posted online, early voting in Pennsylvania, go vote, make America great again. And Kamala Harris posted, your vote is your voice and it's going to make all the difference in November. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Oh, the election just a couple of months away. Democrats in both the House and the Senate continue to keep abortion and reproductive issues front and center. They have introduced several controversial bills that would lead to more access to abortions. Republicans say that they will stand strong against them. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with that story. Eric.
Good evening, Tracy. Yes, let's start in the U.S. House. Democrats there are pushing a resolution reaffirming that emergency rooms provide abortions when a woman's health or life is at risk, despite state laws limiting or banning abortions. Democrats say that this federal law is needed because right now each state is different and it's causing confusion and conflict.
It's an outrage. Lives are at risk. And despite clear federal law and additional guidance from the Biden administration, states across the country are refusing to treat pregnant women in emergencies and even threatening doctors with prison time for performing an emergency abortion.
After Roe was overturned, some states passed abortion bans, and Democrats contend it's harming patients and also doctors.
Healthcare providers who take a medical oath to simply do no harm and are working every single day to save people's lives, even in these emergency situations, are challenged because they may lose their jobs, they may lose their medical licenses, and they may lose their freedom and be sent to jail.
Republicans say doctors are already protected under federal law and add Democrats are just trying to hype the abortion issue and divert attention from other election issues.
They're trying to pivot on that because the number one issue for people right now is inflation and immigration. Roe v. Wade has been overturned. That's a states' rights issue. The fact that they're even trying to dupe voters into thinking otherwise is a complete farce.
Over in the Senate, lawmakers are going to vote again on whether to advance a bill guaranteeing access to IVF treatments. Republicans are on the record as supporting IVF, charged this Democrat-sponsored bill goes way beyond just IVF.
It would legalize human cloning. It would legalize commercial surrogacy, including for young girls without parental involvement. It would legalize gene-edited designer babies.
Now, both issues face long odds. The House abortion resolution is not likely to pass a Republican-controlled House and could wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court. And the Senate's IVF bill, we have learned that it has failed a second time. Republicans say all Democrats were trying to do is pump up their base. Tracy?
Well, Eric, I understand there has been some movement on funding the government as the September 30th deadline quickly approaches. What can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, Speaker Johnson actually announced today that he was planning to bring a six-month continuing resolution to the floor tomorrow, but that will include the SAVE Act. Of course, that's a provision that requires citizens to show proof of citizenship in order to vote in all federal elections. Democrats have already said that it's a non-starter, so it's probably going to fail again tomorrow. Speaker Johnson did say when leaving his office, quote, "We are not going to get stuck," meaning that they are not, that they're going to see this, try and get through somehow, some way. But we're going to continue to follow that story tomorrow. That's the latest, Tracy.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric, for that report. All right. Now to the Middle East, where Israel's security cabinet says that it has updated its war objectives. The new goal is to halt Hezbollah's attack in the north of the country to allow displaced Israeli residents to return to their homes. This comes after top Israeli officials met with a senior White House advisor. Israel says that the only way to return residents to their homes is via military action. Adding Hezbollah continues to tie itself to Hamas. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is traveling to Europe to discuss ceasefire efforts in Gaza. Officials in Lebanon say at least 8 people are dead and more than 2,700 others injured after a series of explosions involving handheld electronic pager devices. Among those killed are 2 members of Hezbollah. This video right here posted to social media appears to show one of the electronic devices exploding. A government official says many of the pagers had recently been purchased by Hezbollah. Another official says the attack used advanced technology and may have come from Israel. According to the Associated Press, the Israeli military has declined to comment thus far. All right, for analysis now, we turn to Claire Lopez, founder of Lopez Liberty LLC and an expert on the Middle East. Claire, good to be with you today. Your thoughts on these pager explosions. What more do you know?
Well, the information is still coming out. Of course, these pager devices were exploding only just earlier today. As your lead up there said, Hezbollah, the organization, the Islamic Jihad terror group, purchased these pager devices, which are supposed to be encrypted, internal and supposed to be secure communications devices for Hezbollah operatives, purchased those from Iran sometime earlier this year. And so the explosions of these devices took place in particular across the Dahiya, that is the southern Hezbollah stronghold, southern part of Beirut. Hospitals have been overrun. It is chaos in Beirut, as we can imagine, with thousands targeted and injured, Hezbollah operatives, every one of them, and a few deaths as well being reported.
Claire, you know, these days pagers seem rather obsolete since many of us have cell phones. That said, why would members of Hezbollah be using pagers?
Because they bought these in particular to use as a closed, secure communication system just among and for Hezbollah operatives. This has no other connection as a cell phone might to any broader communications network. It was supposed to be encrypted, closed circle communications just for Hezbollah terror operatives.
Do you think this is something that just spontaneously happened, Claire, or does this have signs of a coordinated explosion?
Well, it certainly does look coordinated in that the explosions took place more or less simultaneously, as I understand it, earlier today. And the targets, of course, were all Hezbollah Islamic terror operatives.
And as we said, Israel has not commented on this yet. That being said, do you expect some sort of retaliation by Hezbollah or Iran?
Well, here's the thing. Hezbollah's operatives now, the network, is without secure communications. They depended on these pagers and the secure network they thought that they were for their own internal communications planning, et cetera. They don't have that anymore now, as well as the fact that the fear that this must have spread among Hezbollah operatives, the Hezbollah organization right up to the top with the Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, that fear must be quite something going on among this terror group tonight.
Yeah, we'll continue to follow this for sure. Claire, thank you so much for coming. Always great to get your insights.
Thank you.
Well, the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine has reached a grim milestone on both sides. There are now roughly 1 million people either dead or injured. Precise casualty figures are unknown, as both countries tend to be guarded regarding military losses. The demographic impact is particularly severe for Ukraine with its smaller population. Its birth rate has collapsed to its lowest level. In the first half of this year, around 250,000 deaths were offset by around 87,000 births. And back to the United States, a judge has ordered Sean Diddy Combs to be jailed in his federal sex trafficking case. Music mogul pleaded not guilty to racketeering, conspiracy, and sex trafficking charges. An indictment accuses Combs of engaging in a persistent and pervasive pattern of abuse toward women and other individuals. It also alleges Combs used blackmail and shocking acts of violence to keep his victims in line. Police arrested him last night in New York, roughly 6 months after federal officials raided his homes in Miami and Los Angeles. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including crisis in Central Europe. Officials in Poland react to the worst flooding in years. And the Vatican recognizes a church leader in exile from Nicaragua. Back. Poland's prime minister has declared a month-long state of natural disaster as the country braces for more flooding. As you can see, rising waters overflowed a river embankment, leaving the town almost completely underwater. As a result of the heavy flooding, soldiers are now dropping sandbags from military helicopters to stop the overflow of water. The flood wave is expected to peak toward the end of the week and is also endangering animals at the zoo. More than 24 hours after a pipeline explosion near Houston, a huge plume of flames is still burning. Houses are damaged, residents are being forced to leave, and vehicles are melting. This comes after a vehicle drove through a fence and struck the pipeline yesterday. Officials say that there is not much to do than just let it burn out itself. They also say there is no evidence the incident was part of a terror plot. And Springfield, Ohio schools open today with extra security. This follows a series of threats linked to false claims about Haitian immigrants. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine deployed the state troopers to schools due to the amount of bomb threats. The city has been reeling after former President Trump and his running mate reiterated debunked claims about Haitian immigrants eating pets. One faith leader urged residents to remember their Christian values.
The Bible is this is an easy sermon to do because the Bible is very clear on our mandate to stand for people who are oppressed and to love and welcome immigrants.
All right, for more, let's bring in Rob Rue, mayor of Springfield, Ohio. Mayor Rue, great to be with you tonight. So what more can you tell us about these bomb threats and the security measures that are now in place at schools?
Well, thank you for having me on. We definitely could not feel as secure as we do right now without the assistance from Governor Mike DeWine in the state of Ohio. It was very important because once we learned that the nature of these emails and once we realized that they were essentially a hoax, we did not want to bow a knee to fear. And the governor was very adamant that we would get our kids back to school and be as safe as possible. And that's why he deployed the resources he did to help us do that. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, needless to say, I'm sure it's very disruptive for the students and the faculty at the schools right now. What's the mood in your town?
Well, we are a resilient community. We are a community that comes together to work collaboratively to solve problems. Definitely there's, a heightened awareness and a sense of definitely a stress that's been placed in our community. But essentially we still are peaceful. I mean, people are still walking the streets peacefully, still are using our businesses. It's not like we are shut down necessarily. You'll see a lot more law enforcement around our community and some of the state-assisted cameras and towers and things around the community. But, it's a stress. There's no doubt about that. It's been a strain.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, former President Trump talked about Haitian immigrants eating cats and dogs during the debate last week. I know it's a rumor that's been all over social media and also something that J.D. Vance, his running mate, said that he heard his constituents, that is, mentioned to him firsthand. Mayor Rue, how did all this get started? Where did it stem from? And what impact is it having on your community?
Well, clearly, this all started from a social media post done by one with a national microphone, a national platform, and it just trended and started a negative frenzy in our community about a week ago. We have gone, it was brought up in the debate, obviously that heightened the attention to it. And then, 2 days, day after the debate, we decided to go on and make sure that people understand who Springfield is and what we are, and that the rumor about eating pets or pets being stolen is absolutely silly. And I've been saying on most every interview, your pets are safe in Springfield, Ohio. It's a safe community. We have concerns. We have crime. We have the same things other communities have. We have stresses, but we are a community that does come together and solve problems.
Yeah, we're almost out of time, but tell us a little bit about the Haitian immigrants in Springfield. I know over the past few years, you've had a pretty big influx between 15 and 20,000 people. What brought them to your city? What attracted them to Springfield?
Well, I mean, there were jobs here. Over the last 10 years, we've seen an increase in opportunities. There's been about 8,000 new jobs over the last 10 years. So that's brought folks to Springfield. Springfield has a big heart, and we're a good community to be in. And the cost of living is fairly inexpensive here. The amount of people that are here and the time in which they've come, that's been a stress on our infrastructure. And that does not come without concern and problems or even culture clashes that we've experienced here.
Mayor Rue, let me ask you this last question. What are people not talking about Springfield that you would like them to know about?
Springfield is a beautiful city, and we are a close-knit community, and we are a resilient community and a good place to live.
Mayor Rue, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us. We appreciate it. God bless.
Thanks for letting me on.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, mystical marks. Today is the anniversary of a popular saint who received the wounds of Jesus on his body. We'll take you to Italy. Says Bishop Rolando Alvarez, who was exiled earlier this year by the Ortega regime, will participate in the upcoming Synod on Synodality. The 57-year-old was picked directly by the Holy Father. He has kept a relatively low profile since being released from prison in Nicaragua earlier this year and exiled to Rome. Bishop Alvarez is a defender of human rights and a fierce critic of the Ortega regime. Since 2018, Nicaragua has closed down Catholic schools and radio stations and placed numerous clergy members in jail. Well, September is Hispanic Heritage Month, and the initiative includes work from several Catholic priests. Father Jorge Obregon launched the New Fire platform back in 2017 as part of outreach to young people in Latin America. The site offers resources to know God, be formed in the truth, and ultimately find happiness. The platform also promotes a comprehensive lifestyle and responds to Pope St. John Paul II's call for a new evangelization. And Father Jorge Obregon joins us now. Father, thank you so much for coming on to speak with us. We appreciate it. So tell us a little bit more about your platform, New Fire, and the impact that it's had so far.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for having me. Of course. Well, as you said, it started in 2017 with the impulse of John Paul II when if you recall, he used to say that we needed to have new expression, new fire in our evangelization. And I was living in Venezuela back in that time. I'm a missionary, and I was sent there. And I was looking at all these Catholic platforms in the United States and in English. And there were so many good things, Word on Fire, You Guys, et cetera, many others. And I thought, there's very little for the Hispanics, for the Spanish-speaking world. And so I decided to launch this with a very small team. And it is a small team, but they are awesome at what they do, and we're able to reach a lot of people. Where I think we just passed, we're close to 60,000 followers on Instagram.
That's wonderful. What have you been hearing from people about it?
One of my heroes is Bishop Robert Barron, and we try to follow, you know, we try to follow just the Catholic Church, but we like a balanced Catholicism, in which we can say the truth, but with a lot of compassion and mercy for a hurting world. And that's what I hear, that they like that. That's why they follow it. And they know that they'll get, you know, the doctrine of the Catholic Church, but always with compassion.
That's wonderful. I know you also participate in the podcast, What Would Jesus Do?, along with six other priests of the Legionnaires of Christ, offering daily reflections on the gospel. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Tracy, I was invited to that at the beginning, and I had another podcast of my own, and I decided not to join. But then another priest he was full of work, and they said, hey, you want to come back? And this is right now podcast number two of all religious podcasts in the country, Mexico, for example, and very close in Venezuela and Colombia. So we just try to bring the gospel in a very simple way for all those people who are commuting, going to college. All these priests are... We specialize in young adults. And when you explain the gospel to a young adult, everybody's happy. So we have uncountable messages of people who say, this has transformed our lives. And we tell each other, we would have never thought that it would have this type of success, but we owe it all to our Lord up there, as you know.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful, too. We don't have a lot of time left, maybe 30 seconds or so, Father. But what else would you like our audience to know? And also, where can they find your podcast?
So Spotify and Apple is where they find it, but Spotify is the largest platform. And I would just like to, you know, tell us all that we are in times of, we need a lot of joy and a lot of hope, because, you know, society is getting pretty dark, but we have, you know, we have the heart of Christ and the heart of Mary. We just need to be men and women of hope.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing more light. We appreciate it, Father. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Well, 800 years ago today, St. Francis of Assisi received the stigmata, that is the wounds of Christ on his body. And the Franciscan order joins the faithful in a small town in Italy to commemorate the occasion. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sittigren has more.
Located on an isolated mountain in central Italy, the sanctuary of La Verna is a site of deep spiritual significance. It was here that St. Francis withdrew to pray and do penance, and 800 years ago today, where he received the gift of the stigmata. Stigmata are mystical phenomena where holy men and women receive some or all of the wounds of Christ crucified. They are believed to be a sign of closeness to God through sharing in the suffering of Jesus. According to tradition, St. Francis was the first to receive these mystical marks on his hands, feet, and side.
For Francis, receiving the stigmata is an event of major importance. It is the pinnacle of his spiritual life. Through these stigmata, Francis experiences both death and resurrection with Christ. They become a fundamental and entirely new way for him to engage with reality, humanity, and even with God.
A recent event at La Verna marked the 800th anniversary of the stigmata. From wounds, new life. included a pilgrimage for young people, plus confession and adoration starting on the eve of the feast. The event culminated in a mass in the Basilica of the Sanctuary. It drew members of the Franciscan family, as well as lay people and devotees from around the world. Following the Mass, the friars and pilgrims gathered for a procession, which concluded with a blessing of the faithful and the whole world, with a reliquary containing some of the blood from the stigmata of St. Francis.
Stigmata mean, for us, we are disciples of Christ. Christ is the center of our life, and the crucified Lord, and love. Christ is our Savior through the love. Stigmata and love and charity are like the two centers of our life, and we are celebrating today this reality.
The Sanctuary of La Verna is not just busy on the anniversary. Every year, it attracts pilgrims from all over the world. Newlywed Marilyn and Peter Salibi from Pittsburgh came to pray for their families and for healing.
Stigmata is intimately connected to the crucifixion, and my last name also means of the cross, Salibi in Arabic. So it's really special to our marriage, just with Marilyn taking that name on.
And because when I wanted to be a sister, I asked the Lord that my title could be of the cross. That was like the one thing I wanted, and then I met him when I wasn't called to the religious life, and his last name means of the cross.
The event concluded with Vespers, and throughout, it invited all faithful to reflect on the deep encounter between St. Francis and Jesus, and on the saving power of the wounds of Christ. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.